Defense Secretary Rumsfeld acknowledged last week that the Pentagon had blundered in giving the military campaign against terrorism the name Operation Infinite Justice, a phrase that a number of Muslims found blasphemous since it seemed to promise what only Allah could deliver. Yesterday, the Pentagon announced that the new name would be called Operation Enduring Freedom. As our linguist Jeff Nunberg reports, the naming of operations has been a tricky business for the military since they started the practice in World War II.
The most famous World War II operation was called Overlord, the name personally selected by Winston Churchill for the Normandy invasion. That name may have had a sense of majesty and patriarchal vengeance, as the historian David Kahn put it, but it wasn't very informative about the mission. Nor were other Allied operation names like Avalanche, Husky, and Mulberry. In fact, Churchill himself ordered that the names of operations shouldn't suggest their character, particularly after British intelligence intercepted references to a German operation called Sea Lion and guessed that it was a plan to invade Britain. The Allies kept their operation names strictly secret, to the point where even an inadvertent mention could trigger an alarm. A few weeks before D-Day, the names Utah, Omaha, and Overlord showed up as answers in the London Daily Telegraph's crossword puzzle. Officers from MI5 rushed to interview the Surrey schoolteacher who had composed the puzzles, but the whole business turned out to be a bizarre coincidence. It wasn't until after the war that names like Overlord and Avalanche became household words. At that point, the War Department realized that there could be a public relations advantage in creating a new category of unclassified operation nicknames. Even so, most of the post-war names were no more descriptive than the secret code names of World War II. President Eisenhower sent the Marines to Lebanon in 1957 under the name Operation Blue Bat, and the military operations in Vietnam tended to have names like N-Sweep, Pocket Money, and Abilene. True, generals occasionally picked operation names that had more martial connotations, but that could backfire. When General Ridgway named one Korea Operation Killer, the State Department complained that he had soured the ongoing negotiations with the Chinese. In Vietnam, 15 years later, General Westmoreland was forced to rename Operation Masher when President Johnson objected that the name didn't reflect the administration's pacification emphasis. And the press came down on the Reagan administration when it dubbed the invasion of Grenada Operation Urgent Fury, which seemed excessively bellicose for a mission to rescue some medical students on a Caribbean island. That unhappy experience with the name Urgent Fury was one of the things that led the Bush administration in the late 80s to start choosing operation names that were calculated to shape political perceptions. The first of these was Operation Just Cause, the 1989 invasion of Panama. That name irked some critics who had reservations about the legitimacy of the invasion. The New York Times ran an editorial on the name entitled Operation High Hokum. But a number of news anchors picked up on the phrase Just Cause, which encouraged the Bush and Clinton administrations to keep using those tendentious names. Just Cause was followed by the operations called Desert Shield and Desert Storm, as the word operation swelled to apply to a full-blown war. And after that came Restore Hope in Somalia, Uphold Democracy in Haiti, and operations in the Balkans that went by names like Shining Hope, Determined Force, and Provide Promise. All of this has turned the naming of operations into a delicate art. In an article not long ago in the Quarterly of the U.S. Army War College, Lieutenant Colonel Gregory Siminski offered several naming guidelines. First, he says, make the name meaningful. Don't waste a public relations opportunity. Remember that the operation name is the first bullet in the war of images. Second, identify and target the critical audience. Decide whether your name is intended to fire up the troops, win domestic support, allay the concerns of other nations, or intimidate the enemy. And finally, he says, make it concise and memorable. Find a name that vividly evokes the characteristics of the operation that you want people to focus on. Actually, those guidelines are good advice whether you're naming a military operation or a new SUV. It's all a matter of branding. And it's no accident that the new style names like Just Cause were introduced at around the same time the cable news shows started to label their coverage of major stories with catchy names and logos. That practice actually began in 1979, when ABC packaged its special coverage of the Iran hostage crisis as a late-night program called America Held Hostage, which later developed into Nightline. but it was left to CNN and then the other cable news networks to start routinely bannering every major story, high or low. War in the Gulf, Death of a Princess, Flashpoint Kosovo, Boy in the Middle, remember that one? Investigating the President, A Nation Waits, The Search for Chandra Levy. Like the Pentagon's operation names, the network's banners suggest a master narrative for a stream of disconnected news and comment. It's a convenient device for packaging stories like Elian Gonzalez or even the Florida election results, which do have the feel of real-life miniseries. But the events that began to unroll on September 11th are too far-reaching and open-ended to be summed up in a single phrase. You could see the network struggling to find a unifying theme for their coverage as they went from one banner to another. Assault on America, America Unites, America Rising, America on Alert, America Fights Back. But no banner was elastic enough to stretch over all the stories that were coming in from New York and Washington, Vero Beach and Los Angeles, Cairo and Islamabad. And the banners are likely to sound even more simplistic as the story runs its unpredictable course. I keep thinking of some lines from a poem by Robinson Jeffers. History falls like rocks in the dark. All will be worse confounded soon. But at least the networks can keep reframing their narrative from one day to the next. The military have had an even bigger problem, coming up with a name for an operation which is going to be waged over many years in many different theaters and whose outcome is still pretty murky. The efforts to date have been pretty hapless. Operation Infinite Justice was a public relations disaster in the Muslim world, and the new name Operation Enduring Freedom has problems of its own. For one thing, I'm not sure if the Pentagon people stopped to think that the phrase is ambiguous, and that some people may choose to interpret it to mean that freedom is something you have to bear, rather than something that abides. But even if they'd named it Lasting Freedom, I suspect that it would have made Churchill uneasy. He was partial to naming operations after Roman gods, war heroes, or famous racehorses, words with a nonspecific meaning and a vaguely heroic sound. And he warned against picking what he called words which imply an overconfident sentiment. He knew better than most how history delights in creating unforeseen ironies.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.